Also, episode 58, The Holy War, we pick it up where man's soul had departed from their former way of visiting Prince Emmanuel. And the good prince returned to his father's court until Mansoul repented, considering and acknowledging her offense. The prince left because Mansoul turned away from him, as was manifested in these particulars. The Puritans called what was going on here because Mansoul, which Emmanuel saved from Diabolus, is Mansoul was saved. So what the Puritans called this section here was backsliding because they started to forsake their prayers daily and communing with the Lord. And that's what this episode continues to be about. Number one, they departed from their former way of visiting him. They came not to his royal palace as before. Two, they did not regard nor yet take notice that he came or came not to visit them. Three, the love feasts that had been the custom between their prince and them, though he still prepared the feasts and called them to come, yet they neglected to come to them or to be delighted with them. Number four, they did not wait for his counsels, but began to be headstrong and confident in themselves, concluding that now they were strong and invincible, and that Mansoul was secure and beyond all reach of the foe, that her condition was forever unchangeable. Now, as was said, Emmanuel, perceiving that by Mr. Carnal Security's cunning skill, the town of Mansoul had stopped depending upon him and upon his father by him, and instead trusted upon the graces and blessings bestowed upon them by the prince and his father. The prince first, as I said, wept over their condition. Then he used the means of heavenly grace to make them understand that the way they went about was dangerous. For he sent my Lord High Secretary to them to forbid them such ways. But twice when he came to them, he found them feasting in Mr. Carnal Security's dining room, perceiving that they were not willing to reason about matters concerning their good. My Lord High Secretary went his way, grieving, the which when he had told the Prince Emmanuel of all he had witnessed, the Prince took offense and was grieved also. Thus he made provision to return to his father's court. Now, the methods of his withdrawing, as I was saying before, were thus. One, while he was with them in Mansoul, he kept himself close, but now he was more retired and withdrawn than previously. Two, when he appeared in their company, his speech was not as pleasant to them and familiar with them as it had been formerly. Three, nor did he send to Mansoul those tasty morsels from his table, which he was in the habit of doing in times past. And four, nor when they came to visit him, as now and then they might, would he be so easily spoken with as they found him to be in times past. They might now knock once, yes, even twice, but he would seem not at all to regard them. Whereas formerly, at the sound of their feet, he would jump up and run, meeting them halfway, and take them too and lay them in his bosom. Young people, you might not have experienced this as much as some of us older young people have, but there have been times in our lives when the truth of the Lord, when reading his Bible, it's so alive. But then when we aren't thinking about Jesus so much, that when we open up the Bible, it seems dry and it's not as delicious as it used to be. Or when we prayed, it seemed like the answer would come like that. But after a while, because we hadn't been spending time with him, the answer seems to come slower. Or sometimes we feel like it hasn't come at all. And that's what is being talked about right here. But this is how Emmanuel conducted himself now. And by his behavior, he sought to make man's soul think carefully and return to him. But alas, they did not consider. They did not know his ways. They regarded not. They were not touched with these, neither with the true remembrance of former favors. Therefore, what does the prince do but in private manner withdraw himself, first from his palace, then to the gate of the town, and so away from man's soul he went, until they should acknowledge their offense and more earnestly seek his face. Mr. God's Peace also laid down his commission and would for the present act no longer in the town of Mansoul. Thus, they walked contrary to him, and he again, by way of retaliation, walked contrary to them. But alas, by this time they were so hardened in their way and had so drunk in the doctrine of Mr. Carnal Security that their prince's departing didn't even faze them, nor did they remember him when he was gone, and so of consequence they were not grieved by his absence. Now, there was a day when this old gentleman, Mr. Carnal Security, again made a feast for the town of Mansoul. There was also, at that time in the town, one Mr. Godly Fear, one who was somewhat rejected now, though formerly one of great desire and in great demand. This man, old Carnal Security, had in mind, if possible, to cheat, corrupt, and misuse just as he did the rest of Mansoul's inhabitants, and therefore he invited Mr. Godly Fear to the feast with his neighbors. So when the day had come, they all prepared, and he went and appeared with the rest of the guests. The table was all set. They ate and drank and were merry. All except this one man, Mr. Godly Fear, sat like a stranger and neither ate nor was merry. When Mr. Carnal Security perceived such, he immediately addressed himself in a speech thus to him. "Mr. Godly Fear," said Carnal Security, "are you not well? You seem to be ill of body or mind or both. I have a cordial of Mr. Forgetgood's making, the which, sir, if you will take a small sip, I hope it may make you merry and mirthful, making you more fit for us, your feasting companions." Unto whom the good old gentleman discreetly replied, "Sir, I thank you for all the things courteous and civil, but for your cordial I have no leaning or inclination. But a word to the natives of Mansoul, you the elders and chief of Mansoul, to me it is strange to see you so jocular and merry when the town of Mansoul is in such woeful condition." Then said Mr. Carnal Security, "You lack sleep, good sir. I doubt, if you please, lie down and take a nap, and we meanwhile will be merry." Then said the good man as follows, "Sir, if you were not destitute of an honest heart, you could not do as you have done, and do." Then said Mr. Carnal Security, "Why?" "Nay, please don't interrupt me," said Mr. Godly Fear. "It is true the town of Mansoul was strong, and with a proviso, impregnable. But you, the townsmen, have weakened it, and it now lies obnoxious to its foes. This is not a time to flatter or be silent. It is you, Mr. Carnal Security, who has wilily stripped Mansoul and driven her glory from her. You have pulled down her towers. You have broken down her gates. You have spoiled her locks and bars." "And now, to explain myself," Mr. Godly Fear continued, "from the time my lords of Mansoul and you, sir, grew so great, the strength of Mansoul had been offended, and now he has arisen and has gone. If any shall question the truth of my words, I will answer him by this, and such like questions. Where is Prince Emmanuel? When did a man or woman in Mansoul see him? When did you hear from him or taste any of his delicious morsels? You are now feasting with the Diabolonian monster, but he is not your prince. I say, therefore, had you taken heed, though enemies from outside could not have made a prey of you, yet since you have sinned against your prince, your enemies within have been too hard for you. Then said Mr. Carnal Security, fie, fie, Mr. Godly Fear. Again I say, bah, humbug. Will you never shake off your timid doubts and beliefs? Are you afraid of being aroused by a sparrow's tweet, as if someone blasted a trumpet in your ear? Who has hurt you? Behold, I am on your side. Only you want to doubt, while I am for being confident. Besides, is this a time for sadness? A feast is made for mirth. Why then do you now, to your shame and our trouble, break out into such passionate, melancholy language, when you should eat, drink, and be merry? Then said Mr. Godly Fear again, to be continued. You know, in the Christian life, this is what John Bunyan captures in this episode of Man's Soul and Emmanuel the Prince, is when sometimes we start looking at the blessings that we have received from Christ and we start becoming confident that we're saved. Even the term once saved, always saved becomes a problem for us because we put our faith in our salvation that we're saved. We put our trust in the fact that we're saved instead of continuing to trust in Jesus Christ alone. And that becomes a problem. And John Bunyan captured it in a very, you know, picturesque way with the battle and the fight. Instead of the Diabolonians, the followers of the devil from outside being a problem for us, it's the corruptions of flesh is what he's talking about here, which is causing us to backslide, causes us to have confidence in our own flesh instead of always trusting, not trusting the flesh, but always trusting Jesus Christ alone and the truth of his word that points to Christ. This is why the Pilgrim's Progress and the Holy War are aside from the Bible. The Bible's my favorite book. And my favorite books apart from the Bible are John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress and The Holy War. I love those books.